Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Episode 148 of CJ Evolution starts right now. You have the right to remain silent. That is the prelude of what we all know, or we should know, as the Miranda warnings. So where did it all start? Some people, even law enforcement officers and people in criminal justice, don't know that it came from a guy named Ernesto Miranda. It all begins on March 3rd, 1963, in Phoenix, Arizona. An 18-year-old girl was kidnapped and subsequently raped. Police picked up Miranda, who was a small-time crook at that time, and they questioned and interrogated him for 2 hours, and he later confessed. He was arrested, and there was a subsequent trial. Miranda's attorneys argue that he was never given a chance to speak with or get advice from an attorney, which was true. However, he was convicted and sentenced to 40 years in prison. Miranda's attorneys appealed the decision to the United States Supreme Court, which we all know is the court of last resort, is sometimes called, and it's the highest court in the land. The court heard the case, and Chief Justice Warren wrote this: prior to any questioning, the person must be warned that he has the right to remain silent, that any statement he does make can and will be used in court, and he has the right to the presence of an attorney, or one will be appointed if needed. His conviction was then overturned, but Miranda stayed in prison for an additional 14 years after other evidence was obtained against him. Ironically, after Miranda was finally released from prison, he was stabbed and killed in a bar fight. Here's the interesting part. When the police arrived at the scene, the suspect was still on scene. And what did they do to that suspect? They arrested him, and you guessed it, they Mirandized him. Very interesting case. So what is needed for Miranda rights to apply? We've all seen on television when somebody or a police officer or an FBI guy or whatever on TV and in the movies, they arrest the bad guy. What's the first thing they do? They Mirandize that person, which is not necessarily wrong. But a lot of people don't realize that certain things, in fact, two things are needed for Miranda to apply, meaning that is when Miranda rights apply and they have to be given to the suspect. Those two things are custody and interrogation. It has to be both. It has to be both. You can't have one and Miranda apply. Custody and interrogation both have to be present. So what is custody? If somebody's in handcuffs and they're in the back of a patrol car, folks, they're not going anywhere. That's a no-brainer. But sometimes and often custody is much more complicated than what people might think. Custody can be officers talking to somebody in their own home. That person can be in custody if certain circumstances are present. Now, each jurisdiction, each state, I would advise everybody to consult with their local district attorney's office. Again, because there is some various interpretations of Miranda throughout jurisdictions in the United States. But say officers, say two or three officers, go to a suspect's home and they want to talk to the suspect and they're in a room with the suspect. And say one of the officers is unintentionally blocking a door. Again, not intentionally. And there's three officers in the room talking to the suspect. Would a reasonable person think that that person is free to leave? Maybe they would, but if they don't, folks, Miranda applies because two things are present, right? Custody. That person is feeling that their freedom is restricted in some way. And that, folks, is one of the definitions of custody. If somebody's freedom is restricted in any way where they feel that they cannot break that contact with law enforcement, they are in custody. Cuffs don't have to be on somebody. They don't. An interrogation is taking place, again, in the person's home. Miranda could apply. I'm not saying it will apply, but it could apply. And if it does apply, and everything that's being told to the police up to that point could be thrown out in a subsequent court proceeding. So the question I always ask when I'm teaching is, do police officers have to issue Miranda warnings every time an arrest is made? I always ask this question, or not always, but when I'm teaching this topic, sometimes I ask it, usually on the college level, and most of the time, 90% of the class raise their hand and say, yes, every time an arrest is made, an officer has to issue Miranda warnings. Now, I always tell new officers and people, you know, that are interested in, you know, a career in criminal justice, look, it's okay to err on the side of caution, to advise somebody of the Miranda warnings if you don't know, because it's always better to advise somebody if you don't know. But there are times and places where advising somebody of their rights can make a difference on whether or not they're going to talk to you or not. And it's not being tricked. It's not being trickery or using deceitfulness with a suspect. Again, folks, custody and interrogation both have to be present, right? So here's an example. A police officer makes an arrest and transports the suspect to jail. During transport, the suspect begins to make incriminating statements against him or herself, in this case it's a him, without any questioning or prompting by the police officer. What should the officer do? Should the officer give Miranda warnings to that suspect? Now again, before I tell you what I would do, I would consult with your district attorney's office for their interpretation. But what I would do is, if anything, I would make sure that my recording in my patrol vehicle is on. Those are spontaneous utterances. There's no prompting by me. I'm not asking questions of the suspect. Because if they are in my car and I'm taking them to jail, they're in custody, right? Remember, I'm not interrogating them. They are freely giving me information. And more than likely, those statements that person is giving me is going to be allowed in court because I'm not interrogating them. And folks, you'd be surprised how often this occurs. Remember, two things for Miranda: custody and interrogation before Miranda applies. So the question is, well, what happens if I'm making an arrest on somebody who has a warrant? Do I have to advise them of their rights? No, unless you're going to talk to them about a specific crime. People are getting arrested all the time on warrants. Do the officers advise them of their rights? I would probably say no, because they're being arrested for a crime that another officer or criminal justice professional has gotten a warrant on them for. The only thing we're doing is we're executing the will of the court. This person has an outstanding warrant. I don't have to advise them of their rights unless, again, I want to question them about another crime that I think that they might be involved in because they're in custody, right? And I want to interrogate them or ask them, you know, questions about a crime that they might be committed or they might be involved in. So again, Miranda is so interesting. And there's so much, information out there about Miranda warnings and when to give them and when not to. Again, officers know this, but I'm not going to give somebody their Miranda warnings unless I absolutely have to, unless the law says I have to, unless two things are present. Remember, custody and interrogation. Because something psychologically happens when somebody hears a Miranda warning being given. So if you don't have to give a Miranda warning, you don't, because people will shut down. Again, it's not being deceitful. It's when to know when you have to give Miranda warnings and when you don't have to. Folks, that's all I have. There's so much research, again, on Miranda. I would encourage each and every one of you to do some research and learn more about this very important subject. This is one of the biggest cases in criminal justice history, and it continues to evolve, along with other important cases that have faced the Supreme Court in years. So with that, folks, if you head over to cjevolution.net, check out my website. You can check out all the past episodes, a lot of great guests coming on in the very near future. If you click on that iTunes link on the website and rate and review my podcast, I sure would appreciate it, folks. So with that, special thanks to all the first responders out there protecting us day in and day out from the various threats, and there are many out there. So thank you, folks. I sure do appreciate it. Be safe, everybody.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast, and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.